Maine's Political Pulse is made possible in part by Lee Auto Malls, celebrating the return of the Common Ground Country Fair, September 23rd through 25th. Learn more at mofca.org.
Welcome back to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz. With me today, Steve Missler, Maine Public's Chief Political Correspondent and State House Bureau Chief. Political reporter Kevin Miller is off. Healthcare emerged this week as an issue in the gubernatorial race. And Steve, there is a sharp contrast here between Democrat Janet Mills and her Republican opponent, former Governor Paula Page.
Yeah, Erwin, there's been a pretty sharp contrast between Governor Mills and LePage on this issue for a long time. It was a source of tension between the two when she was attorney general and he was governor, especially around the issue of expanding Medicaid, the insurance program for low-income residents that's often referred to here as MaineCare. But this week, Mills was able to tout a U.S. Census Bureau report showing a significant improvement in Maine's rate of uninsured residents from 8% to 5.7%, and that's occurred during her time in office. And that drop is directly linked to the expansion of Medicaid. LePage tried to cut that program many times when he was governor, and he fought even harder to stop expanded eligibility through the Affordable Care Act, as a lot of other governors did, a lot of Republican governors specifically. And that focus really came after the expansion became a state's decision after the Supreme Court upheld the legality of the ACA in 2012. And that really shifted the battleground over Medicaid expansion to the states. Now, LePage successfully defeated legislative efforts to expand the program. And those battles were some of the fiercest during his two terms as governor. And even after voters went out on their own and approved expansion via referendum, he refused to implement the law, resulting in a lot of drawn out legal battles. Mills, if you'll recall, in 2018, made this a key issue when she was running for governor and vowed basically to fulfill voters' wishes on day one in office. And that's exactly what she did in 2019.
We're sending every signal we can to everybody we can that we will energetically pursue a state plan amendment and implement the law and the will of the people as expressed in the election of November 2017.
And that was Mills in 2019 after she signed an executive order starting the process of expansion. And this week, she released a statement touting the census report showing a corresponding drop in the uninsured rate. You know, and Erwin, you know, healthcare was a very potent issue in the 2018 midterms. And while it's unknown if it will be a motivator this year, the news on the uninsured rate is certainly allowing Mills and the Democrats to claim that they were right about Medicaid expansion and that LePage did everything he could to stop it.
Has LePage said anything at all about what he would do when he gets back into office?
Kind of nebulous comments, Erwin, about it. But so it's unclear if he's changed his tack or his view on Medicaid expansion now that it's law and clearly helping reduce the uninsured rate.
The Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine has long been a political force in state politics. There are a lot of Mainers who hunt and fish. And Sam, as it's known, has long watched out for their interest and kept a sharp eye on how the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife spends the money from hunting and fishing licenses. The group has gotten into the governor's race with a report card on the candidate. Steve, what does it show?
Yeah, very interesting from Sam. And I think another example of LePage's past battles really coming back to haunt him. So Sam gave Mills an A on its report card, and the group attributed this ranking to Mills's opposition to several gun control bills, her work on hunting, fishing, and PFAS issues, and I think this is key, her strong support for the Land for Maine's Future program, which is a state-run conservation program. Sam gave LePage an incomplete because it apparently didn't like his answers about supporting the Land for Maine's Future program, using federal dollars to protect deer habitat and building a new state fish hatchery. According to the group, it even took the unusual step of giving LePage a chance to revise his answers and even met with him face to face about doing so. But according to Sam, LePage later said he was withdrawing his questionnaire altogether, and that's why he ended up with an incomplete from the organization. And I think a little history is useful here. Sam was quite pleased with LePage during his first term, particularly his stance on the Second Amendment and protecting rights to firearms. But he and the organization really were at odds when he was elected to his second term and he started waging war on the LMF program. Sam is a huge backer of LMF because it's used to preserve deer habitat and protect access to hunting and fishing grounds and so on. But LePage often railed against it. He claimed LMF was removing too much land from property tax rolls, and he even blocked voter-approved bonds for the program, which also angered Sam. You know, to say that they were at odds is probably an understatement because a lot of the fighting took place behind closed doors, but sort of dribbled out and rumors and that sort of thing. But it's obvious it's still an issue because the group isn't convinced that his views of LMF will be any different now than they were when he was governor.
Finally, a police union has become involved in a race involving State Senate President Troy Jackson. Steve, what's that all about?
Some might recall this summer that the Maine Republican Party was placing signs in Jackson's district that mimicked his own signs, yet said that Jackson supported defunding the police. Jackson was quite displeased with this, called it a flat-out lie, and decried the GOP's tactics. But the main Republican Party pressed forward anyway. And, you know, as far as I know, those signs are still littered throughout that district. So this week, the Fraternal Order of Police called out the signs as election misinformation and also defended Jackson's record on police funding and his general support of law enforcement. Now, this whole thing might seem overblown, but Jackson is in a pretty tough race in a tough district, which is why Democrats are spending pretty heavily to defend him. And also, the defund the police attack has proven pretty potent in some national and state contests, which is why Democrats have abandoned the slogan that was briefly used in the summer of 2020 during the racial justice protests that stemmed from the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The Fraternal Order of Police's statement is significant for that very reason. And it may have taken a while, you know, coming out now as opposed to when this was a huge dust up back in August. But you could also argue that, you know, they sent it this week when more voters are actually paying attention.
Maine Public State House Bureau Chief and Chief Political Reporter Steve Missler. And that's Maine's Political Pulse for this week. The Pulse podcast is updated each Friday afternoon. But as we move into the heart of the political season, Steve and Kevin Miller are now going to join our Jennifer Rooks on Maine Calling on Friday mornings. Now, of course, there'll continue to be more detail on the Maine's Political Pulse newsletter, which comes out Friday mornings. And by the way, the latest one has information about upcoming debates. You can look for the newsletter at mainepublic.org/pulse and sign up to have it emailed to you each week. We'll also continue to air portions of Maine's Political Pulse on All Things Considered on Friday afternoons on Maine Public Radio. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Erwin Gratz. We invite you back next week for another edition of Maine's Political Pulse.